Well, this is my first time to speak in front of our church like this. It's funny, I can play the piano and sing in front of you guys every week, but when I get up here in this place, it's a little different, so bear with me. I appreciate the opportunity. Well, a few weeks ago, I was thinking about our church and all the ways we have been desiring to reach out to those around us. I thought of my own personal journey here and reflected on those who reached out to me, befriended me, prayed for me, mentored me, and really opened the door to ministry for me to be able to serve this church as pastor of worship in the arts. I think about David and Patsy Gospel's daughter Esther, who was the first person to greet me at this church, who literally opened the doors of the church to me in 1998. I was a 23-year-old single girl, just out of college, teaching school, fresh from a breakup with a college boyfriend, wondering if this might be a place that I could get involved and call home, if I could find my community here. 11 years later, I'm still here. I think about my mother, who is my music teacher and spiritual mentor. This is going to be hard to get through. Whose efforts with me laid the foundation to what would become my life's work today. But this is Father's Day. I'd like to take a little time to affirm the men here today. The message I want to bring to you, I hope will inspire you, affirm you, and motivate you to use your God-given gifts to open doors for others. I will be sharing stories of three men who have impacted my life, opened doors, so to speak, and made it possible for me to be here today. Men hold a unique position of privilege in our society. We recently held the multicultural, multi-ethnic conference here at the church and really worked through some difficult material. We learned about target groups, groups that traditionally have not held a position of power in our society. Different ethnic groups, women, children, the poor. Those of us who attended the conference had to contend with our feelings of discomfort as we identified ourselves in different groups. As a white person, I had to sit with the realities of racism and prejudice that my brothers and sisters of color have experienced. I had to think and process that because of the color of my skin, I have had certain privileges my whole life that I wasn't even aware of. Certain doors have been opened to me that I have been free to walk through that I didn't realize might be closed to others. In the same way, men have traditionally held positions of power and influence. Danny Tao, the speaker at our conference, shared that sometimes if his wife has trouble, for example, on the phone with a certain company, he can get on the phone and get results almost immediately, perhaps because his lower voice carries a tone of authority and the situation is resolved. What we typically do when we realize that we are a member of a privileged group or a non-target group, to use the language from the conference, is to become defensive or downplay our participation or experience in the privileged group. We feel like we might lose our place or that maybe someone else will get a seat at the table. Or we're not important anymore. We won't matter. And what I would like to offer this morning is an affirmation to the men here of the value of being a man. Men, because of your unique privilege, you have the opportunity to open doors for others. To open a door for someone who may not be able to open the door for themselves, whether because of gender, socioeconomic status, or race. Now, literally, this is a cultural norm here in the South. We teach our kids to open doors for others, for women, for elderly, or maybe just someone who has their hands full. As I share my story with you, I hope you will reflect on the people in your life who have opened doors for you. And also think about people in your life that need you to open a door for them. I have divided this into three categories. The first way that men can open doors for others is to offer provision and protection. As a woman, I appreciate and value the men who have opened doors for me. When I think of those men, the first one who comes to mind is the first important man I ever met. Here come the tears. The first man who ever loved me, provided for me, and protected me, my father. And there he is. Gotcha. Okay. You can go back to the other. We won't let that stay up too long. Okay. My father was raised in rural North Louisiana in a traditional Baptist family. My grandfather was a teacher and a school principal. My grandmother raised four children. My dad sent himself to Louisiana Tech, working as a surveyor for a civil engineering company, driving a school bus, and running a couple of paper routes. He met and fell in love with my mother when they were 15 years old. She also went to Louisiana Tech, paying her way with academic scholarship and also by raising animals for 4-H. They married in 1966 and traveled from state to state with my dad's job at Murphy Oil, eventually settling down in El Dorado, Arkansas, where I was born. Now, I later learned that that should be El Dorado, okay? But in Arkansas, we didn't know any better, so. I've been bilingual since birth. My father encouraged me to do well in school, to go to college, to have a career. He encouraged me to think outside the box, that it was okay for me to be anything that I wanted to be. He taught me how to drive a car before I was 10 years old. I remember driving with him, sitting on his lap through the curvy country roads, going to my grandmother's farm in Louisiana. Unfortunately, this later backfired on him when I may or may not have taken the car out before I had my driver's license a couple of times. Sorry about that. He bought me Barbie dolls, but also played sports with me, taught me to hold a bat, catch a baseball, play basketball. None of this worked out well at all. I was a gangly and uncoordinated, awkward child, but I appreciated the effort. We went fishing, rode four-wheelers. He even taught me how to ride a motorcycle and let me take it for a spin. Michael, you'll appreciate this. It was a Yamaha 750 Virago. And he was there to catch me and pull it off of me when I wrecked it. And he let me get back on it and try again. He opened the door for me to go to college and study what I wanted to study. Of course, giving the ever cautious guidance to remember I would have to figure out how to turn an English degree into a paycheck someday, which I did. He talked about what it takes to make a living for a family, finances and the stock market, retirement plans, treated me as a person who needed to be educated, to be able to take care of herself and even the family if something unexpected happened. He was always looking ahead, trying to provide for us and protect us. You see, my dad had a heart attack when he was 40 years old and I was 10. And because of that, he wanted us to be prepared someday in case he wasn't there. He constantly saved and planned and tried to fix things so that we would make it, my mom, my brother, and myself, no matter what. Those are the ways he provided for and protected us. Even today, he's still doing this. I'm 34 years old. He still calls me to see if I need new tires on my car, or wants us to call home when we've arrived at our destination safely. My father not only opened the doors for me to have a future, but also he opened doors for people at work. As head of HR at a major company, he made decisions to hire people of different ethnicities and promoted women to positions of leadership in his department. He has often taken care of the needs of our extended family, as well as community needs that have arisen. When I think of my dad, I'm reminded of this verse from Proverbs, and this is from The Message. Never walk away from someone who deserves help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. Don't tell your neighbor, maybe some other time, Or try me tomorrow when the money's right there in your pocket. Provision and protection go way beyond financial help. When you offer to help someone move, or help them with car trouble, or stand beside them when they're going through a divorce or an illness, when you read to your children or help them with their homework, when you refuse to participate in a crude joke at someone's expense, and when you tell someone that you have their back, that's opening the door for provision and protection. You are God's hand for that person. Men can also open doors by challenging us to take risks. When I think about this category, our pastor, Michael Polandro, comes to mind. And there he is. I took a risk putting that up there, but I may feel that risk tomorrow at our staff meeting. Just kidding. Probably should put the picture, but yeah. Michael opened the door to ministry for me. I came to this church, 23 years old, full of dreams and desires, but without a practical way to meet those. I knew I wanted to serve in a local church, but I wasn't sure what that should look like. In my background, I thought maybe I need to marry a pastor, so I diligently tried all through my 20s to meet one and marry one. It didn't work out. My husband now is in seminary, so that's something, right? You know, I wondered, should I go to seminary? Is it okay for me to want to go to seminary? Is it, you know, should I be a women's minister? All of these questions. I went through all kinds of growing pains as a young 20-something, and Michael affirmed my participation in our church by allowing me to serve as a life group leader, a worship leader, and as of 3 years ago, asked me to serve on staff as pastor of worship in the arts. And this has truly been a dream come true. I am humbled to be allowed to serve this church each week. Michael took a risk on me, and I'm so thankful that he did. He challenges me and encourages me to take risks, which is why I'm standing here today. And not only me, but he admonishes all of us to spend time with God, to draw close to the Lord. These words from 1 Thessalonians, I feel, describe Michael's heart towards this church. As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. This is the message that we hear every week. Michael is calling us to this, encouraging us, challenging us. Another verse that I like, similarly, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be watchful, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Michael's ability to challenge us and take risks has opened the door for this church to grow not only in numbers, but in love for each other, as we take the risk to break down cultural barriers, to fulfill a vision to be a church for every tribe and tongue to come together and reflect the coming kingdom. Sometimes we need a little push. We need to be challenged. Think about your loved ones, your colleagues, employees, and children. Who can you admonish to take a risk, to step out, and be brave, accept a challenge? The last verse I'd like to read on this, Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is a great verse when you want to challenge and encourage people to take risks. And this brings me to my final point. Maybe the most costly way that men can open doors for others is the path that Jesus took, the path of the cross, of service and sacrifice. The disciples were interested in a place of honor. In the gospel account, they were actually arguing. They wanted to secure their place at Jesus' right and left hand in glory. Sometimes I've read this story and kind of gotten a little annoyed with the disciples, you know. God, they're so arrogant. You know, they want to be, you know, at the right and left hand of God. It's kind of embarrassing, you know, that they would ask this. But lately, I've had a little more compassion. After all, it's a natural human desire to seek power, to seek that honor. They walked around the dusty streets of Galilee with this man. They ate meals together. They saw miracles performed. You know, you're sitting next to him at the table, he turns water into wine. Who doesn't want to sit next to him? It was the most natural desire in the world to want to, in a sense, co-reign or enjoy a shared power with Christ as ruler. But Jesus told them, and this is from Mark 10, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." To open doors for others to have life, to have opportunities, is to serve and sacrifice, maybe even your very life. And when I think of a servant, of someone willing to sacrifice for others, but maybe especially for me, I think of my husband, Nate Dickerson. Nate is not the kind of guy that needs to be up front. He would rather be behind the scenes. Many a Sunday morning, he has gotten up early to bring something up to the church for me that I forgot, or step in where there is a need to be filled. He'll go to the store in the middle of the night if I need medicine. He doesn't make me feel guilty or inadequate when I've done wrong. Some of you may remember Nate from the Christmas play. Yes? I'm married to the shepherd, not the sheep, if you're wondering. Okay. In the Christmas play, Nate played an usher brought up on stage at the last minute to fill in for an actor who couldn't make it. And what is so funny about that is that that was actually true. Nate did come and step in to fill a spot that when someone had to back out of the play. Nate is a servant. He cares for me and does the tasks around the house that I hate. Taking out the trash, cleaning the litter box. Nate is a teacher. He teaches 11th grade English at Lamar High School. He cares about kids succeeding in life, learning to love literature like he does. It doesn't bother him or somehow diminish him as a man if I have leadership roles or even take initiative at home in an area. He supports me, encourages me, and leaves me love notes on the mirror telling me that I am his soulmate. He is not threatened when I know the right answer to a question and is not afraid to consult my opinion or even follow it. Through his service and sacrifice for me, I am honored to serve and sacrifice for him. Nate has opened the door for me to experience what it means to be true partners, to lay down our lives for each other. I think of other men serving in areas like children and youth ministry, in roles that are not glamorous or even traditional male roles. I think of men who take care of their kids in the home, who at times have sacrificed ego or power to be a hands-on dad, or even primary caregiver. I think of men who take the time to listen to someone talk about issues that they may disagree on but in so doing, communicate to the other person that they have value, that they're worth listening to. I would also like to add a little word here at the end to the guys that serve in our worship ministry, since that's my area and I have the microphone. I'm very proud of them and humbled to serve alongside them at this church. These men have served me and this church without complaint or ego. Many of these talented men could and have led their own worship ministries in other places, but they have submitted themselves here and sought to glorify God with their talents. These men have encouraged not only me, but the other women on the team, and have not regarded themselves as above us or treated our ideas as silly. And I'm so proud of this team because it truly is a team. We all want to see each other succeed and be the best that we can be. There is not an unhealthy competition among our members, but a spirit of love and just a general liking of each other. And I hope we can always work together this way. I believe that this group of people and their ability to serve in this way has opened doors for the Holy Spirit to work in our midst through worship, to break down walls between cultures as we seek to worship in two languages, and hopefully this will potentially have a larger impact beyond the walls of this church. So thank you. I'm so grateful to these who have opened doors for me. Men who have been a blessing in my life in these areas: provision, protection, challenge, risk-taking, service, and sacrifice. I hope you will reflect on those who have done these things for you, and also look for those for whom you can open a door. God bless you.